I got a story today. I forgot that I was going to tell you a story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked to you and I was like, hey, man, we got like a half hour episode. And you were like, yeah, no problem. We can have a half hour. But then I realized I had this story that I was going to tell you.
Yeah.
I guess I could postpone the story. It's a hypothetical. Or we'll just see how we move through this episode. And then maybe, depending on time, maybe we'll get to that story.
Okay.
Today, to kick it off, 15 years. Oh, it's an anniversary today.
Uh-huh.
15 years since Steve Jobs unveiled the original iPhone. I did not know that. Today is January 9th, which means it's been 15 years since Apple CEO Steve Jobs stood on stage. So it's not the 15-year anniversary of the launching or like the actual availability of the iPhone, but the moment that it was held, that the world saw it, which is cool.
Yeah, on stage.
Which is cool. At the Mac World Expo. Do they even do Mac World Expos anymore? I don't know.
No.
In San Francisco, California, it gave the world its first look at the iPhone, a device that would go on to change every... Look how small it is.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so cute. It looks like a toy, sort of.
Yeah, with its 3.5-inch display.
And just how cartoony the icons look.
Yeah, very colorful.
Yeah.
I guess they're colorful now, but...
I was watching...
This kind of looks like a toy.
I was watching a Pixar movie.
Okay.
And it feels very Pixar.
That phone, yeah, the way it is. Agree.
The original iPhone was a tiny little thing, 3.5-inch LCD display, plain old home button, a thick chassis.
Wasn't that bad.
Described as that. I mean, it's, I guess compared to today's, what's normal today, but huge bezels, a Samsung processor, and a 2-megapixel camera. Yeah, that's right. The cameras have gotten so much better. But still, at the time, it was unlike anything else that was on the... That's absolutely correct. This is probably the most significant tech product launch of my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I think it altered the course of what I ended up doing, what I ended up becoming enthusiastic about. There's so much skepticism. I remember thinking, just simply a touch interface, and that's it. And so many of the devices that we came to use, or that we were using at the time, like that did have touch interfaces, mm-hmm. were those resistive style touch interfaces. They weren't capacitive, and so they were far less responsive. And so people were rightfully skeptical that a touch only interface would be capable of performing that way.
And Jobs really wanted to emphasize not to use any pens.
Yeah, no stylus.
Yeah.
He was anti-stylus. It was going to be your fingertip. And I was like, how are you going to tap all those little keys on the keyboard?
These giant nubbins.
What are you going to do? And then, you know, software, man. Software and hardware. They figured it out. And the rest is history. And we live where we live and we do what we do now. And we stare at these things all the time. Which a lot of other, you know, people afterwards came to say that Steve might not like the way that people are addicted to their phones in 2022. And this is, of course, speculation. Maybe some mm-hmm. people who knew him. It was supposed to be a tool and not to consume every moment of every day and things like this. That's what some have stated. I don't know. I didn't know Steve, and he's been gone for a while now. So who really knows how mm-hmm. he would have adjusted to the modern state of things. We can only speculate. Instead, it's Tim in charge.
Yeah.
And Tim went on to sell a boatload of phones and phones that are way bigger than this phone, and that people consume tremendous amounts of content on it, including this show right here, Will. So who really knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who really knows? Today's episode sponsored by Honey. Online savings simplified. You never need to search for coupon codes again. Look at that. Trusted by over 17 million members. This is on stuff that you're already buying, shopping in the way that you're already shopping. Couple of clicks, put this into the Chrome browser, and then it's going to just work automatically in the background. Simple, seamless. It'll find savings in a matter of seconds, and it will apply active working coupons so you don't end up overpaying for your favorite stuff. So maybe it's a gadget, maybe it's a controller for the new console that you got
mm-hmm.
this holiday season. Either way, who who doesn't want to save a few bucks? I know Will does, and I do too.
Just recently, I shopped online for some presents and saved over $50 with Honey. It's super easy to use. Promo codes pop up at checkout, and you're good to go. You could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be helping out supporting this show. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/lulater. That's joinhoney.com/lulater. But I do think that the DNA is still there. I think Apple still kind of uses devices as tools. Mm. I mean, based on this next, let's just move on to the next.
Let's just move on. Apple won't join the metaverse with its headset. Really? Is this official, Will?
It's not official, but there's always rumblings of like the AR, VR kind of debacle or comparisons. And Apple has always been very AR. They don't want you to live in like a metaverse or some sort of virtual reality.
Yeah. Well, which... at this point in time, it's obvious that they're a hardware company. I mean, they have a boatload of services now, but the hardware is what delivers those services, and they have they don't really have a social network. And Facebook on the other side of things has this made big investments into VR.
Sure.
And social media already kind of represented this alternate reality in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can understand why Apple might have a different approach. Apple apparently doesn't want anything to do with tech's most obnoxious buzzword. Oh, this is, of course, according to Gizmodo, writer on Gizmodo. Mm-hmm. I'm referring, of course, to Metaverse, a pass for guessing NFT. Yeah, which do you think is more buzzy right now? NFT or Metaverse? Which is more buzz?
I feel NFTs are a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a lot of buzz, a lot of NFT, three letters. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, a reliable Apple analyst, says the company's upcoming AR headset will be designed for shorter activity sessions, not to fulfill the goal of the metaverse by leaving the real world behind for a digital oasis. Mm-hmm. Here's one word I'd be shocked to hear on stage when Apple announces its headset, metaverse, Gurman wrote in his newsletter. I've been told pretty directly that the idea of a completely virtual world where users can escape to, like they can in Meta platforms, Facebook's vision of the future is off limits from Apple. I mean, what does any of this even mean? Because you can say one thing now and it can...
I mean, the market will dictate
exactly, and
where it goes, right?
The way in which people use the hardware will determine things as well, right? If everybody pops on this AR headset and flicks on some alternate place they want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, what are people doing on their iPhones right now, and how much of it is inside of an Apple application versus another one?
Sure.
If you, like, what percentage of iPhone usage is TikTok or YouTube or some other platform or property?
Yeah. I'm just really glad that there is conversation between those two. That it's just not completely on the VR side, even though it's super immersive and there's a lot of dedicated support on it. At the very least, AR is still in the mix. That's good. You gotta have two.
Yeah, well,
you don't want everyone just move over to the metaverse and then everyone's just gonna be developing for it. You need the other side. At least try.
Well, VR is more like, feels more like content, and AR feels more like utility. Mm-hmm. Like they feel like they can serve completely separate purposes. Like, you'll see an AR demo where a guy's fixing an engine or something. He's got all these small parts and a diagram and things.
Yeah.
But the fact is that people spend a lot of time consuming. We got to be honest about it.
Yeah. And the fact that everyone's going to be consuming, and it's so easy to...
But is like, but is,
shouldn't there be like an alternate, like,
okay, so let me paint a picture here. Okay, so AR is a group of people with their headsets on and a superimposed cinema screen that like looks like it's on the wall somewhere.
Sure.
But you're not completely VR, so you can still see the surroundings of your apartment.
No. So I think for this, at least in this article, it just seems like you're going to be using your AR headset just like at brief amounts of time. You're not getting lost in it like in a VR headset where you're spending like 10 hours, 20 hours kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, but that's just, how are you going to control how long people use the thing? What, is it going to turn off after an hour?
No. But at the very least, they're, at least the filter of it is more real life. Like, you can kind of see what's around you.
But then what does that mean? Okay, so we've all got these AR headsets on, and they're just sort of like enhancing our experience. So it's like,
maybe
yeah, it's navigation. Maybe it's like seeing a review in your lens as you pass by a restaurant.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And not get completely lost.
But good luck. I'm just saying good luck. Like, the premise sounds fine. But yeah, I'm saying good luck, because it's distracting enough with the variety of devices that we do have, mm-hmm, to stay engaged in the moment and to ignore notifications and the pull of different applications that exist that are provided by third parties. Mm-hmm. Like, you, just because it's AR doesn't mean it can't be all-encompassing or addictive. I mean, I see that they're referencing Pokemon Go, and people were going crazy with that.
People at the park?
It still like comes down to the discipline of the individual, regardless of the technology. The technology in general is going to get to a point where it's only going to become more compelling, and it's, mm-hmm, only going to be harder to put down, mm-hmm, whether it's AR or VR.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting conversation, just in general.
Sure. I think both will, I agree though, that both will exist. And, mm-hmm, the difficulty with AR is you need to design hardware that people are willing to wear in the real world and are capable of wearing in the real world, untethered. Yeah. And that's, from an engineering standpoint, that's, I mean, outside of using your phone to have AR experiences, that's a daunting task. You've seen companies have tried, and it hasn't gone all that well up until now.
Yeah.
Honor announces the Magic V, its first foldable smartphone, releasing soon in China. I saw a few shots of this. It looks to me like the front display is a little bit more screen to body than it is on the Z Fold. Mm-hmm. Am I correct in that? Yeah, okay. So it looks a lot like a Z Fold.
Very much so, yeah.
Granted, I have a feeling that all these foldables are going to follow sort of roughly that same form factor. This one has the same location for the interior front-facing camera. The camera layout on the back looks a bit different. Mostly it's that front display, which is ever so slightly altered from what you see on the Z Fold, and it just looks to be a bigger screen-to-body ratio. I don't know if it's a bigger screen in general. It says it's a 7.9-inch display on the inside. The outside is 6.45-inch OLED. Mm-hmm. 21:9 comfort ratio, they call it. It's a comfort ratio. Yeah. One-handed, more satisfying. External screen can also stand on its own. Not only that, multi-surface nano-crystallized glass screen also lets defensive performance. It's a bad translation? What's going on here?
Yeah. This is actually the Chinese site that I Google translated. I think because the English site is not up yet. It gives me a 404. Yeah, don't mind the...
Or they're not even going to bother with the English site because they're not... Who knows if they're going to be able to sell it outside of China because it's been so difficult to China figure out where they can release these things. I thought that the Honor brand was somewhat protected because they sold it to some other... Huawei sold the Honor portion to another company.
Yeah.
But
it's called High Honor. High Honor.
Either way, why is it not popping up with an English site if you're going to sell it outside of China?
Sure.
Maybe that's at a later date that they'll figure that. That one looks cool. Titanium empty silver. Whoa, I like these translations. Empty silver. That looks like one of those high-end suitcase type designs.
It does, yeah.
The camera unit looks pretty robust as well. Listen, man, folding phones, how much can you do with it? You fold out to a tablet. I think a lot of them are going to look like this. I don't think there's any type of magical way to come up with some other format. That seems, it's going to be a sandwich. It's going to be two rectangles that unfold. mm-hmm. with a display on the outside. So they're, and the bezels are so tiny that there's no, to be able to insert some kind of identity, it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways to fold it, right? You have the open book way or like the vertical.
Oh, I was talking mostly about these foldables. You're right. There is still the flip stuff.
And then you have like maybe the a trifold or something.
Oh, but, my. You know. Wow. Okay. Yeah,
That's a lot.
Trifold.
Taken.
Brochure. Triangle. Talking about a samosa fold.
Samosa?
You ever had a samosa before?
Yeah. They're delicious.
When's the last time you had a samosa? I feel like there was a period in my life where I kept running into samosas.
Yeah. Well, they're so easy to, I mean, they're ubiquitous.
Yeah, but there was a period in my life where I kept running into them.
Oh.
And then now, I haven't seen a samosa in ages.
Yeah.
I wonder what
I'm doing. It is kind of like a shared food.
I think I'm doing something wrong. Mm. Maybe I think I'm going to blame COVID for lack of samosas in my life because I'm not encountering them. You got like some spices going on. Can you pull up a picture of samosa real quick? I got to hunt one of these. I got to hunt this down, man.
Yeah.
I got to hunt this down.
They're delicious.
I gotta hunt this down.
With the, was it the green chutney? Chutney sauce?
You just say chutney on this show?
Yeah.
What do you think, there's a culinary show over here?
With my air fryer? Sure.
Mint cilantro chutney. Oh, goodness gracious, man. Yeah, what are we doing to ourselves right now,
that's very
man?
Good.
I gotta go find a samosa spot, Greater Toronto Area. Somebody let me know what the right one is, because I had a period of time I was encountering those.
Yeah, and yeah. they're fairly cheap too.
Porsche Taycan coupe is drop dead gorgeous. Just a render, but this is what it would look like. Here we go, 2-door Taycan. Yeah, it looks sort of like a 911. Looks sort of like a Cayman. Electric, that thing would boogie. Imagine.
Uh-huh.
Save a little bit of weight, get rid of the rear seats, same amount of power. Ridiculous.
It looks like,
what is this render style? The guy with the camera, what is this going on right here?
What do you mean?
Can you explain this CG that I'm looking at here?
Well, they're just tracking it, this shot here.
Yeah, and then they insert the 3D object.
Yeah,
that's sick. Yeah. I like seeing it in the real world instead of in some digital landscape. Like, I like seeing it on the...
I mean, it looks pretty convincing if it's like, even now. But like as a screenshot, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
No, that's what I'm saying.
You got the lighting and reflections, right?
I'm saying, man.
The color looks
shout
great.
Shout out. Who are we shouting out, man? Give somebody a shout out. This looks really good. 2NCS on YouTube.
Yeah, now he has two of them.
I mean, it's definitely, I think he went overboard with those slits on the hood there. No, like I'm saying.
I think that's dope.
No, I'm saying they'll never do it. I'm saying
Porsche,
if you were trying
It has to be aftermarket or something.
If you were trying to do an accurate, and I understand, if I was a 3D artist, I'd go completely overboard as well.
Yeah.
Because.
It's not bad.
It'll be tempting to do it. But we do at least get the rough shape of how this could look.
Uh-huh.
If they were to do it. Although Porsche previously came out and said, we're not doing 911 electric. That's just not the 911. And so,
mm-hmm.
of course, time changes things, and maybe it just won't be called the 911, or I'm sure eventually they'll do an all-electric 911. They just got to keep you. They just can't say they will right now, because then no one's buying a Taycan. They're like, I'll wait for the 911
mm-hmm.
electric.
It's going to steal its thunder.
I guess the market's not big enough for that. It must be the same reason that Tesla has not prioritized that Roadster at all. 0% prioritization.
Well, their Plaid is just so fast.
I know. Like, yeah, it's so fast with 4 doors.
Yeah.
Tesla removes all Cybertruck production date information from the website. Oh, man. Speaking of Tesla.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard making these cars, man. And it's tough because... There's such a variety of customers with Tesla. There's people like me that are just, I'm going to get that Cybertruck. Whenever it happens, I'll just get one type of thing.
Mm.
And then there's people who really are trying to plan and they need a vehicle and they really are relying on these release dates badly. I remember that story about that UFC fighter. He was like, hey, man. He's like, hey, Elon, yeah. I bought a model.
Dariush.
I bought a Model Y and I got this baby coming and yeah. I needed to have a car for the car seat.
It's like, no problem, man. Here's a Y.
Well, he sorted it out.
Yeah.
In that case,
he got it covered.
Elon sorted it out. But yeah, so a vehicle is a big purchase. A lot of people plan around it and it's really important when they're going to get it and they don't have a lot of flexibility there. And so that's when it gets tough when people, but I don't know if that's the majority of Tesla customers or if it's half or whatever. But we do know that they got this new facility over there in Texas. And we do know that COVID kind of screwed some things up
mm-hmm.
as far as the production of vehicles is concerned. So it sucks, but I can't say I'm surprised that there would be, that they would take that information down because they backed it up one time. They pushed the dates back and then everyone was angry and they don't want to be held to these dates at all. The Model S Plaid that I got was super delayed.
Did you get the top trim?
Plaid. What are you talking about?
Oh, sorry. I was thinking Cybertruck.
Oh, Cybertruck? Yeah.
Yeah.
But Cybertruck, it wasn't completely figured out, was it, initially? Like, what was it? Yeah, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive? I mean, you could probably go order one right now. They'll take your order. They'll take your $100 or whatever. Yeah, sure. Okay, go order one right now.
I guess
you don't even select anymore.
Oh, okay.
You don't even select any. Oh, you will be able to complete your configuration as production nears. See? They don't, it's weird. I think at the time that I did it, when this thing was first announced, you would actually put in four-wheel drive,
tri-motor,
yeah. Whatever it might have been back then.
But I think they have a quad motor now. I think we covered it.
All right, let's do a quad motor. Why not? I'll take a Ford motor. But yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm excited for it because it's so bizarre. It's such a strange item. It's still cool to me.
Yeah.
And whenever it hits the streets, the sooner the better, but whenever it hits the streets, it's going to make some noise for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What's this? If I fits, I sits? What's this? Starlink self-heating internet satellite dishes are attracting cats. Oh, I see. I get it. Cats love the heat, right? That's why.
The heat, yes.
That's why sometimes you got to be careful. They'll go underneath your warm car in the winter.
Yeah, snuggle in there.
And you don't want to run them over.
Mm-hmm.
And they're attracted to the heat. SpaceX's Starlink has been making steady gains with its fledgling satellite internet service, surpassing 100,000 terminals shipped in 2021. That's quite a few.
Congrats.
Showing promising improvements in performance after initial speed tests produced lackluster results. Okay, so they keep improving. Starlink works great until the cats find out that the dish gives off a little heat on cold days.
So they have like a warming feature, I guess, for maybe snow or something to get stuck up there. Causes a lot of reception issues.
So this will melt the snow off of the mm-hmm. Starlink satellite. That's cool.
That's not like hot enough to actually hurt anyone.
Right.
But cats seem to think it's the perfect place. And it has like a, you know, it's a dish, so it's a scoop.
So you have an image here.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wow.
I feel like this was fake. Like they just has like a bunch of cats and thought it would be like a silly.
Is that five cats thing on there?
Yeah. Damn. They're huddled together. Damn. But apparently this is real.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, that's not a thing you would, when you're engineering it and you put the self-heating, you're probably not considering cats.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe other wildlife, but not domestic cats. Like, oh, the cats are going to fill up the whole satellite dish.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's affecting the performance at that point. It must be to a certain extent.
Yeah, it should, because it's kind of blocking the, signals that's bouncing off of the...
This guy has a relationship with these cats. He says they have free access to heated house and come and go as they please. They are there by their own choice, he wrote on Twitter. He went on to say that the cats will voluntarily leave the heated cat house to catch some Z's on the dish. Oh, I don't know, man. Maybe whatever signal It's coming. They like to
intercept it.
Yeah, maybe there's some other reason. Maybe the cats have another sense. They're capable of picking up. Maybe they're intercepting internet.
Conspiracy.
Maybe there's like a nice vibration.
A red pill.
I don't know. Something's going on here.
No, I hear you.
The cats know more than we do, Will.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Joe Rogan accuses CNN of altering video color to make him look sick.
Oh.
I don't know that he said those words specifically. I saw the post on Instagram. I think his caption was, okay, so first of all, he put a video on Instagram of a CNN report in which they were talking about him announcing that he had COVID.
He looks like a zombie. I mean, it's not just like a tint in his skin tone. Yeah, it's like
very weird.
It's like he's dirty. So like there's dirt on his face.
So on his Instagram video, he did a comparison of his original post on the bottom playing at the same time as the CNN broadcast version above it. And in one of them, he looks his typical self, I guess, with maybe a little bit of processing going on because of whatever iPhone he shot it with. It already does some funky things, but he looks roughly like himself. And then the CNN version, he's looking like, some said a zombie. He's looking rough. He's looking much worse. Let's put it that way. He's not looking himself. He's looking like he's lacking pigment, like, or he's lacking his usual. He looks half. I don't know. I don't know what way to say it.
He looks ill. He just looks ill. Like there's no blood in his body.
Yeah, yeah. It's a rough. It's a rough look. Bradley Martin says they hit you with the zombie filter. And anyway, so I was curious about this because I saw this and I was like, no way. It's like, come on, no way they did that. And then my brain was just trying to go over the possibilities here.
Sure.
His caption said, oh, go back up. We might as well get his caption in there. It said, yellow journalism, hashtag fake news. 31,000 comments. Almost a million likes. This one's getting attention for sure. So I was thinking to myself, just being a person who makes videos, I was thinking to myself, maybe this is some kind of color correction gone wrong in CNN offices. But then I was like, man, it's too much. Yeah. I watched a clip and I was like, it's too much. It's not it's not subtle. It's not like, oh, he's more pink. Because we do this stuff when we're editing videos. It's like, oh, you look a little pink or you look a little green or you look, it's not accurate, color accurate. And you're constantly trying to nail the color correction or white balance or whatever it might be.
But this is unforgivable. Like you can definitely see some sort of unhealthiness.
Well, and so the next thing I did was I tracked down the actual original CNN clip.
Okay.
Because I was curious, okay, maybe it's some kind of processing, like uploading, downloading, re-editing, and then uploading it again. But the original clip kind of still looks like that, roughly. It still has that. It looks maybe a little bit better. Is it slightly more forgivable when you don't have to see it with the other original clip right beside it? There's something about seeing them right beside each other. But anyway, go ahead and play the CNN version, I guess, or like a short amount of it. A very tiny amount of it. Just go right to the middle. Yeah, now pause. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. Now we get to the next level. We get to the next layer.
Okay.
We peel the next layer.
Okay.
Which is, all right, so if we can say, hey, that's been modified, if we can say, hey, somebody's trying to make him look more sick, then we have to ask ourselves, if we're doing that, we have to ask ourselves, coordinated effort? Or rogue editor, like somebody with intent to enhance, and then an editor that looks at it and says, yeah, run it. Or is it all the way down from the top down? The instruction comes out. You better mess up. You better make him look worse. You see, I'm just presenting the scenarios that could have led us to this to this outcome.
Uh-huh.
But either way, very bizarre. Obviously, he's got this tussle, this CNN tussle going on for a bit now, mm-hmm. ever since they were using the horse dewormer.
Ivermectin.
Terminology.
Yeah.
And then he had Sanjay Gupta on the show, and he went straight at him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but they lied.
Yeah.
And Sanjay's like squirming over there. He's like, he's like, well, you know. Anyway, that was bizarre what's going on there. Here's a YouTube streamer leaving his Switch OLED on 1,800 hours straight in order to test burn-in. That's what you need. That's content, Will.
This was very informative.
Yeah, it's content, man. Like, that's, you're curious. Okay, cool. I've heard about OLED displays.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of content we should be making. Well, you understand?
Yeah.
We're complete, utter failures for not having done this ourselves.
So 1,800 hours is like 2.5 months.
It's crazy.
Left it on straight. What do you think happened?
I'm sure there is some sort of burn-in feature inside of the Switch, maybe like that pixel shifting technology. I think it's going to be okay.
Okay.
What ended up happening?
You're completely right.
Oh, okay.
Nothing happened.
Right.
Nothing. Like he said, like he actually placed it side by side after the, I guess in total it was like 2,000 hours, over 2,000 hours.
Wow.
He used like a Zelda Breath of the Wild frame.
Mm-hmm.
Which showed a lot of high contrast,
mm.
and literally nothing happened. Like it's completely fine.
There
this
you
is
go.
The frame, and sick. It was running. And he said that there may be a slight dimming in the test, but it's only because maybe it's a different manufacturer or different manufacturing OLED process, because compared it with another OLED display.
Mm. Right. Either way, it's nothing super offensive that took place.
No.
It's cool, man. They come up with new methods for working around this stuff, these types of problems, which used to be frequent on old display technologies,
mm-hmm.
and even new display technologies that where they haven't figured out how to fix it. But people have been concerned on laptops as well. They say, we're not ready for OLED, where we have persistent items on the like menus or on Windows you would have a persistent bar along bottom or start button or whatever you might have.
Mm-hmm.
But this is good news that there are ways around it and there are technologies that exist to mitigate some of those risks, and you get the benefit of OLED.
Yeah. And someone actually tested it.
And someone actually did, a regular person, Wolf Den. Oh, I don't think
on YouTube.
I don't think that's his name, but that's a cool that's a cool name for a channel. Wolf Den. It's not spelled how you expect.
Yeah.
W-U-L-F-F. W-U-L-F-F and then Den. D-E-N.
Yeah.
We're on a Wolf Den.
Last one.
Crypto Dev says he's spending $500,000, that's $500,000, on a statue of Elon Musk's head on a goat's body.
He's riding a rocket ship.
What is that, an NFT? Elon Goat Coin. What? What's going on here? What's he doing?
So he's making a statue. Oh, okay. I'm guessing it's an NFT.
Yeah, there you go. Bitcoin themed super spreader events and cringy branded NFTs. Those within the crypto community have set a high bar for devising the worst ways to hawk their currency of choice. But this week, the creators of an Elon Musk themed cryptocurrency, okay, so the Elon Goat Token is what it's called. They came up with a promotional campaign. Okay, so it's just a token.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an NFT in and of itself. And this is a promo animation by the looks of it.
Yes. This one right here.
I mean, it looks like Elon. Where's the goat? Oh, there's the goat body. Okay.
Yeah. And he's riding a rocket on an 18-wheeler.
And it looks like some lightning. He's wrapped in lightning bolts.
There's planets around him.
There's electricity. There's an arrow going up. They're just, it's all the memes. It's many memes.
Yeah.
Many memes. It's a many meme mashup. for the Elon GOAT token. You know, it depends which side of the bed I wake up on, Will.
Okay.
I could wake up on the side of the bed where I'm like, what are you, what? Stop, what?
I feel the exact same way.
And then I could wake up on the other side of the bed where I'm like, have some fun, whatever. Have some fun.
I mean, hopefully this is not a rug pull.
Right.
But just judging.
Well, I mean, you don't want anybody to get hurt ever.
They did write a white paper.
Oh, they did write a white paper, didn't they? They did write a white paper. Well, in that case.
Of course you do.
Well, in that case, 12-page white paper.
I guess there's some sort of credence there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, man. Goat. Goat Elon Musk. What is it? Goat coin? Goat token? We're not. This is not financial advice.
No. I mean, just read the white paper.
Yeah, 12.
Tell
you
all about it.
Yeah, that's a great way to spend an evening. Get yourself a hot tea and cozy on up to the 12-page white paper on Elon Goat Coin. Or don't.
Or don't.
Or go. Or watch the.
It's up to you.
Or watch the book of Bobby Fett.
Yeah.
You can watch that too because I watched episode 2, and episode 2 was better than episode 1.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, stuff
happened.
It's
starting to pick up?
Stuff happened. I don't know.
Okay,
stuff happened, but apparently it's on Wednesdays, and who knows? If my kids are still into it, then there might be an episode 3 coming up. I'll tell you about it.
All right.
No spoiler. Spoiler alert. No spoiler.